Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN. Matthew Tully is a columnist for the Indianapolis Star. We talked about a year or so ago, I think, when some of the religious freedom stuff was going on that was creating quite a controversy in Indiana. And Matt wrote a column this week pleading with with Hoosiers. I grew up in Indiana. I shouldn't say Indianans. I've been gone so long, Matt. Pleading with his fellow Hoosiers to reject Donald Trump. And Matt, I haven't looked at the latest polls in Indiana. I know they're kind of all over the place for Donald Trump right now. Where is he currently polling in Indiana with the latest polls that you've seen?
You know, it's hard to say. This column was sparked by the fact that a Monmouth University poll came out showing Trump only up by 4 points in Indiana, which was quite a drop from previous polls where he'd been up by double digits. And then obviously you have the governor of Indiana on the ticket. And here we are when that poll came out. It was about 3 weeks ago, and it showed 4 points. And even if that was a little generous toward Hillary Clinton, it shows that the race has tightened quite a bit. And I've certainly felt that just, you know, based on emails from readers and, you know, interactions with, you know, people that I've interviewed and friends and other people. It does seem like it's tightened quite a bit. So I thought, you know, I've been pretty critical of Donald Trump from the beginning of his campaign, but I thought, well, here's an opportunity to kind of just remind people that, hey, there's still a chance for Indiana to go on the books the way I think would be the appropriate way. And as I wrote, you know, not just today, but, you know, 20 years from now, I think it's a vote we, as Indianans, would be kind of happy that we took if we didn't go on the books for him.
Yeah. When's the last time Indiana go Barack Obama's way, his first time? Or?
The first time, yeah. Okay. In 2008, he won a squeaker here. I think he won by about half a point, and he'd put a lot of time into Indiana. There'd been a very competitive primary still. And so he was here during the primary season, and then he stayed and did what virtually no presidential candidate I can remember has done. He truly campaigned in Indiana, both personally, but with ads, get out the vote. And John McCain completely ignored the state. I think there was one late visit that he did at the airport, and it still was half a point. So it kind of shows you the difficulty of winning for a Democrat presidential candidate.
Yeah.
Previous to that, it had been 1964, so it had been quite a drought between 64 and 2008.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, even most of the people that support Trump are still very critical of him, except for some of the people who just defend everything and anything. How is he playing in Indiana? I know that the percentages have dropped. Is that because more people are getting disgusted with him, or do you think if Hillary wasn't so polarizing herself, the Democrats would be doing even better?
I think if you had a less polarizing Democrat on the ballot, I think that Democrat would win this year. Mm-hmm. And that's because, you know, Trump has his base, and that base is solid here, strong here, just like it is all over the place. And then there's that vast middle, independents that maybe lean right at the presidential level, moderate Republicans. I call them Mitch Daniels Republicans, you know, based on a former governor who kind of stayed out of social issues, very pro, fiscally conservative, business friendly, very popular in Indiana. There's a lot of those. I live in the suburb just north of Indianapolis, and it's a Republican stronghold, and it's the most important place in the state for Republicans to get votes because it's big and lean so Republican. And there's a lot of folks up here who just have said they can't vote for him based on so many of the things he's said and done that I don't think you could find any other Republican presidential candidate in their life, you know, that they haven't voted for. So I don't think he's lost the base so much. I think what he's lost his base so much. I think what he's lost is more and more of those kind of people in the middle that definitely lean right, but are willing to cross over.
Yeah. And what about having Pence on the ticket? I mean, how is Pence doing in Indiana? I know he had to drop out of his reelection bid because he's becoming the vice presidential candidate, but I am surprised that even with how Trump is, if I was a conservative Hoosier and I really liked Pence, I think I would think, you know what? He's the president. You still got the House. You got Congress. You got all these checks and balances. And Pence will be a good, you know, he'll rein him in. This is a lot of bluster for the campaign.
Right.
And I'd assure myself, I would imagine, in that way of saying it's okay to vote for him.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, it's been the Penn story is really interesting. One thing people forget is that he was in a dogfight for re-election. I mean, he was not guaranteed to win. He was struggling here, especially after the religious freedom debate, and then quite a few other things. And he'd lost a lot of those very people I just talked about, those kind of Republicans in the middle who thought he went way too far on social issues. He passed the strictest abortion law in the country. Justice May, it's already been overturned by the courts. On top of religious freedom and turning down state money for preschool for ideological reasons. There was a series of controversies that really knocked him down and left him pretty vulnerable this year running for re-election. I think he still would have won, but it would have been close. Mm-hmm. And so once he got picked by Trump, I think there was a pretty big surge in popularity for him just because he was playing well on the national stage. As I once wrote, he was now being compared to Donald Trump, and I think he just looked good by comparison.
Sure.
But lately, I think because of the Trump controversies and kind of some of the, you know, silliness that Pence is engaged in, you know, denying the Trump said things that he said or occasionally saying things that puzzled people, that same poll that came out last week showed him with a pretty narrow approval rating. You know, I think he was at 46% approval, 44% disapproval. So, you know, it showed that Pence isn't some hugely popular figure in Indiana that's going to carry Trump to the finish line. I think he helps a little bit, just because there are a lot of Republicans with fondness for Mike Pence. But it's not like he's a governor with a 65% approval rating that can really, you know, change the game.
What's going on for the Indiana governor's race since he dropped out? How's it looking?
It right now, it looks like the Democrat, his name is John Gregg, is in the driver's seat. The polls are showing him up. Two polls came out showing him up by 6 points. His replacement is the lieutenant governor, but a very new lieutenant governor. He just filled the vacancy in March. Just isn't as well known and didn't get on the ticket until July after Pence dropped out. So he's just had very little time to build an organization, you know, build a policy agenda and get himself known. And that's really hurt him. I think if he had a traditional year, you know, to build a campaign, he's a very impressive guy. I think he would have had a better chance. And there's still time, but John Gregg's been running this time for 2 years. He lost to Pence 4 years ago by only 3 points. It was a very close race in 2012. So, you know, he's just really had a lot of time to refine his campaigning skills and his message and everything else. And he's run a very solid campaign. So I kind of be surprised. I think it would take some pretty big turn of events here in the last couple of weeks for him not to win. Trump dropping really, really helps him because the thought all along among the political kind of experts that I talked to was that if Trump won by 12 points, you know, it's just hard to overcome that if you're down ballot. You know,
yeah.
That's a lot of people on that side of the aisle coming out and voting. And some might cross over, but that's a whole lot of people to cross over. And just the fact that the president's race is closer, it's a huge boost for John Gregg.
Knowing what you know about Mike Pence, if they lose this election, is he going to be very mad at himself for taking this chance when he most likely would have squeaked by in a re-election bid for governor? Or is this propelling him onto a national stage and he's, if Hillary wins, then there's a wide open race for the nomination in 4 years and he's the best known name out there next to Paul Ryan?
That's a great question. And I really think it's the latter. I think I wrote over and over again about Mike Pence, who I think is a nice guy. I wrote that I thought he's a nice guy and a decent guy, but I didn't think he was a good governor. And the main reason I often gave was I just don't think he wanted the job. I don't think it was where his skill set was. I don't think where his interest was. His interests were always out in D.C. I mean, even as governor, the things that got him most worked up are when he was somehow able to get involved in national issues. He spent 12 years in Congress before he was elected governor. He did very well on that stage as kind of the voice of the conservative, one of the voices of the conservative, the real conservative wing of the House Republicans. And so I think he's personally, it seems to me he's very happy to be back on the national stage. It's just where he's comfortable. That's where his skill set is. That's where his allies are. Even you know, once he came here, he struggled to kind of put an administration together because he didn't have a whole lot of, you know, his people were out in D.C. They weren't here. And so I think he's fine with how this is going. I think he's probably going to get a huge book deal for starters. The polls are showing that, you know, I saw a poll just yesterday that said that more people consider him the future of the Republican Party than Donald Trump, Paul Ryan, any of the others. You know, once they lose, if that happens, those numbers might drop because, you know, the public generally kind of, you know, doesn't have a ton of fondness for people who lose presidential campaigns.
Right.
But I do think he'll be a national figure going forward. And you know, I think most people think he's performed pretty well on the national stage. So my guess is he will have a million options and is probably pretty happy to be back where he's comfortable.
What else is going on in Indiana on this ballot? There is so much talk nationally about concerns about down ballot races and how a flailing Trump campaign might affect that. What else is on the ballot in Indiana that could turn in a different way?
Yeah, there's a couple of House races that people are keeping an eye on. Republicans control 7 of the 9 House seats in Indiana, and they're pretty gerrymandered. It's going to take, you know, a wave of waves to put any of those folks in jeopardy. But the big race that that really is getting the most attention, much more than the governor's race, I'd say, is the Senate race. And there's an open seat for Senate. Dan Coats, who, like me and probably like you, is a huge Cubs fan, is retiring from the Senate. And so there's an open seat. And Todd Young is a Republican up-and-coming House member who was cruising to victory as of, you know, mid-June, and that race wasn't in anyone's radar until, as I'm sure you know, Evan Bayh came out of political retirement, former governor and senator, and kind of nudged out the candidate who'd won the primary and became, in July, the surprise Democratic nominee for the Senate. And it's been a brutal race. I mean, Republican groups, super PACs, have just spent a tremendous amount of money going after Bayh. His approval rating has dropped dramatically in the past 2 months because of a long series of very unflattering stories about what he's done in the years since he left the Senate. And so the latest poll still showed him up by a few points, but I would think that everyone considers that race a toss-up. I know the national political sites like University of Virginia has their great crystal ball site, and they've rated it a toss-up, and that's where I'd put it at this point. Virtually nothing's gone well for Evan Bayh this year. What he's got is 30 years of goodwill, because he was a very popular governor and senator, and one of those guys that would be hard to imagine ever losing an election in Indiana. But remember, it wasn't too long ago that Richard Lugar lost an election in Indiana, and that was seen as kind of impossibility too. So that, to me, that's the race to watch, and it's one of a few that will determine the makeup, you know, control of the U.S. Senate next year. So that explains all the outside money. This is Indiana, and they spent that race has already spent $40 million.
Wow.
You know, we are a mid-market state. I don't even know how you spend $40 million in a Senate race. I guess you spend it on Chicago TV. that's probably where all the money's going. But
you know, it's funny because Matthew, up here in Chicago and GN, we play a lot of Indiana State That Works ads, and there's money spent there. But I have not heard a Senate commercial.
You haven't?
I haven't.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, not too long ago, if you wanted to reach the populated Northwest Indiana area, which, you know, 600,000 people live in Lake and Porter County, the only way I grew up in that area, and, you know, we watched Chicago TV. So if you wanted to reach those folks, you had to, and no one ever did it from Indiana because they just didn't have the money to advertise on WGN and WLS and all the other stations. But with cable, it's probably made it easier to target your audience. And so maybe that's what it is. Maybe the ads, you know, nowadays you can micro target in a way that you couldn't in the past.
It is amazing. What's the latest polling on Evan Bayh's
The race? Poll that came out from Monmouth last week had him up, I believe it had him up by 6. That poll, that was the one I told you about that had Trump up by 4.
Yeah.
People, there were some eyebrows raised about that poll, because it also had John Gregg up by 12 points in the governor's race, which just seemed a little high. And so that one might have leaned a little more Democrat than is reality. Another poll came out a few days later showing Bi with a slightly smaller lead, seemed a little more in line with where we're at, I think. So everyone seems to think right now that Bi has a slight lead, largely based, like I said, on that goodwill that he's been drawn on. You know, not only was he in office for, you know, three decades as governor and senator, but his dad was a three-term senator going back even further. So you know, especially yeah. older folks in Indiana have a lot of positive feelings about Evan Bi. Not as many as they used to before this campaign, but you know, if not for that, this race would have been over a long time ago.
Yeah, I was just reading on a website about him that, like, when he left as governor, he had, like, an 80% approval rating.
Yeah, so absolutely, yeah.
He served a lot of different offices in Indiana, too, right? He was Secretary of State.
Secretary of State.
Been in Senate,
and
governor.
Also, it was slightly, I was away at college in the late 80s, wasn't paying much attention to the Indiana politics. But if you talk to anyone who was really around in the mid to late 80s, when he became Secretary of State and then governor, he was 32 years old when he was governor. You know, looked like a movie star, you know, and, you know, has a beautiful wife, and they had twins born while they're governor. He completely saved the completely dead Democrat Party in Indiana. He was one of those new Democrats that was fiscally conservative. You know, the Republicans that had controlled everything, he turned them into the old, stodgy, out-of-touch party. And so you talk to people that were around that time, and they'll say, it was an exciting time in Indiana politics to have this young Kennedy-esque, you know, governor and his family and you know, a kind of new energy to state government that had not existed in anyone's lifetime. And so I think, you know, that's a lot of what, you know, is kind of helping him this year, is people have... He wasn't just a popular governor. He was a transformational governor. No one ever talks about his Senate years. I mean, you don't hear, he doesn't even talk much about his Senate years. He talks about his governor years. It's just funny because that ended 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But that's what people remember, and that's what, you know, they have a lot of fond feelings for.
Yeah, that's where the good feelings are, so that's where you go back. So the last debate was this week. Has that changed feelings much in Indiana?
First and only. No, I don't think so. You know, I don't know how it works in Illinois, but these debates for Senate and governor, just no one, very few people pay attention. I mean, the only people I know that watch these debates are people that are so rock solid, already decided.
Yeah.
You know, there was one 4 years ago, I don't know if you remember, but we had a Senate candidate named Richard Murdoch, who was a Republican, it was a very close race. And he said something about rape, where he said, I believe the quote was, you know, it was God's intention or something like that.
Yeah,
and that cost him the race. But, I mean, immediately the polls went from being virtually even to the Democrat up by 10 points. But barring something like that, these debates just don't get a lot of attention. It was a pretty good debate. And you know, if I had to rate it, in my column, I called it a draw. Which maybe helps Todd Young, because, you know, Evan Bi's been around forever, so everyone knows that he can debate.
Yeah.
You know, address the issues. Todd Young's kind of playing the role of challenger, even though this is an open seat.
Yeah.
And so for him to hold his own might have helped him a little bit if there were any undecided voters. But I just, you know, it's one of those, it's kind of like the vice presidential race. There's a lot of talk about it beforehand, but then once it was over, you never heard another word about
it. Well, is Governor Pence coming back to, you know, with the way the campaign's going, there's a lot of talk about the RNC pushing a lot just to help out the down ballot races and kind of pulling away from the presidential race. Is Mike Pence coming back to help out people that are running on the ballot, or coming back to campaign for Trump, or how much you know, play has Indiana gotten in all this?
Yeah, very little. You know, the super PACs are spending a ton of money here on the Senate race. I mean, they're fully engaged. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which was always a big ally of Evan Bi, and he had a pretty good voting record according to their score. And he even worked for them after he left the Senate, but they've completely turned on him. And they're spending a ton of money. So the national groups are spending plenty of money on that race. But, you know, Pence, I believe, did one event for Eric Holcomb, the candidate for governor, and Todd Young, but you know, he's obviously, he shows up in Indiana for things once in a while, you know, for little events for his day job, but obviously their number one focus is that presidential race, so sure. he's in the battlegrounds. We don't see him much around here these days.
Interesting stuff. So we're only a few weeks away now. We'll see if things are going to change all around the country and certainly in the great state of Indiana. Matthew Tully writes for the Indy Star. You can find him at indystar.com/Tully, T-U-L-L-Y, and follow him on Twitter at Matthew L. Tully. Matt, thanks so much for jumping on the phone with us.
Hey, thanks so much, and go Cubs.
Well, there's something at least most of us can agree on. Go Cubs. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN.